This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And we took a call from a fellow by the name of Antoine. Antoine was calling from this great state of Connecticut. And he went on an anti-Jalen Brunson rant in which, even at the end, because he ends it by saying, yeah, you guys may think I'm crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I think you're crazy. And what was so crazy about that phone call is, okay, he makes the phone call. Mm-hmm. I disagreed with him. Sounds like a good dude, nothing personal. And then it goes away. And then the game happens, and then the game ends, and I ended up on delay. I was at the Met game, a whole thing. I'm watching the game on a replay. And then I go check out what people are saying. See what the Knicks fans are bitching about. I love to check in on crying Knicks fans. And it's mostly ripping of Jalen Brunson. Even my guy CP, the franchise, like, was hero ball. Like, he really turned on Jalen. I respectfully disagree with him. And all I could think about was Antoine. Because his phone call almost told the future of Game 2.
Just to clarify here, whether it's CP, whether it's Loogie, whether it's Boomer, if you criticize a player once, it doesn't mean you turn on them, as Evan would like to phrase it. Like, you turn. He was on a heel turn. Well, I wasn't Seth Rollins with a chair shot.
You're very sensitive to
No. The way you phrase things, turned on,
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Anyhow, CP turned on Jalen Brunson, the captain.
No, he didn't.
So here is the phone call in question. Yeah, he did. And a lot of people did. I'm not, you know, it's okay. You have every right to be mad at whoever the hell you want to be mad at. I'm just trying to be an IBO. I got no personal agenda.
With a smile on your face as you
Except
say it.
Except for Mikal Bridges.
No, I don't, honestly. Like, yes, I want the Knicks to lose, but I think everything I've said today is just my genuine opinion about basketball, watching it with an independent eye. I think sometimes, and I feel this way the other way too, like if we were somehow talking about the Nets or when we're talking about the Mets, I give you a very passionate opinion and I try to be as unbiased as I can, mm-hmm. but I honestly think you would give a better perspective because you really are unbiased.
Right.
So I do find sometimes on sports talk radio or just talking with your friends that stepping away from the situation actually gives you a better perspective. And I view that not only for the teams I don't like, but even for the teams I love. But anyhow, here's the phone call in question yesterday from Antoine, hours before game two, Knicks Pistons.
I'm watching this game, and I don't know if I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm watching this game, and it just feels like these guys do not like playing with each other. There's no passing. There's no sharing of the ball. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just like how we've been playing all season is just how we kind of came into these playoffs. And honest to goodness, Jalen Brunson is starting to remind me of Carmelo Anthony. He got us here, right?
Right.
But now it's time to switch it up. Now it's time to start facilitating like a point guard and moving that ball around, getting your guys involved. And like, he's got to get Bridges involved. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
so yeah, that's just my point. I don't know if I'm crazy, but these guys don't look like they're playing good together.
And I thought he was crazy. I responded by saying, you're crazy. And then last night happens, and a lot of Knicks fans are parroting what he said yesterday before the game even started. And I think one thing that kind of bothered me about what he said, and I'll stand by it today when it's a little bit more difficult, mm-hmm. is that I don't think that was an issue all year. Like, I didn't watch the Knicks who had a top five offense and say they don't share the basketball enough. It's too much hero ball. I didn't get that sense offensively. I thought they were a well-oiled machine offensively. I think their biggest problem was on the defensive end, which they started to clean up as the season went on. So I give Antoine credit if you're listening, bro, because you were on my mind all night last night. As weird as that sounds. Like, I kept thinking about your phone call because then, like, everything he said, like, Boomer even repeated this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Boomer's copying Antoine. I'm like, Antoine was almost seeing the future. And while I still disagree with him, I had to give him his flowers.
Yeah, but I think what you're remembering is the offense from earlier in the season when It was clunky because they were still learning how to, I don't know, play with one another. But there was a lot of ball movement. There was a lot of, like, get it to the open guy. Let's see open shots. And it just felt like this offense had the potential to be epic because they were good even when they weren't really cohesive yet. But as the season got crunch timier and Jalen Brunson gets hurt and now Deuce is spending in more time and Jalen Brunson, what did he miss, 2 weeks or whatever it was? They operated so much more efficiently than they did since he's come back. And I think part of that is because of Jalen Brunson becoming the hero in moments. You know what I mean? Like, if he sees that, hey, Kat, you're off right now, don't worry, I got you, right? That's his mentality. I got this. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And while that's a good thing, because Jalen Brunson is, I don't want to call him an elite scorer, but he's an elite playmaker in the NBA, especially in current moments, but it also marginalizes some of these other really good players. So it's a weird situation that they find themselves in. And I think that's what... what's his name?
Antoine.
I think that's what Antoine is talking about.
So you agree with Antoine?
It's not that I agree with him, but I can see why he feels that way.
I also find it really funny that Carmelo Anthony, who's a Hall of Famer, his name is being used in a negative connotation.
I know.
Like, it's, oh, Brunson's mellow. It's like, wait a second. So you're comparing him to a Hall of Famer that's supposed right. to be a bad
well,
thing?
Well, there's a large portion of Knicks fans that didn't like the ISO ball. They didn't like the Carmelo Anthony.
No, I got you.
But here's the difference, though. Other than Amari Stoudemire, he didn't really have a lot of star players around him. He had, like, former star mm-hmm. players like Jason Kidd, where when you look at it on paper, this is a great starting five, so you should be able to facilitate the ball a little better. In clutch moments, it's a lot of dribble, 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 as you once said, and you need to get more guys involved. And even if Bridges is going to miss shots down the stretch, you still got to feed him because it builds the confidence
what is
late
crunch
in
time?
Games.
Crunch time is the last 4 minutes of a game,
yeah,
5 minutes of a game.
Yeah, about four.
Yeah, and this goes back to the point I was making. In crunch time in the last 4 minutes, I think he was a facilitator. The problem was his teammates didn't come through.
Right.
He facilitated a Josh Hart dunk that tied the game with a minute 10 to go. He facilitated two good looks from Mikal Bridges that he didn't hit. So I completely disagree with the narrative.
I mean, he's taken like 60 shots in two games.
You just talked about crunch time.
I'm saying
you're moving the goalposts. No. You just said crunch time. I'm explaining crunch time.
What Antoine was saying is throughout the season in clutch moments, it's been a lot of let's stare at JB, dribble the ball, and he comes through in those moments. But when you get to the postseason, you can't just snap your fingers and go, all right, let's go opposite of what we've done all season long.
I also got to tell you, that's kind of what happens when you have star players in the final few minutes of close playoff games.
But stars.
The star player is being...
What about the other star player,
Well, maybe you got to ask yourself, is he a star? The guy didn't take a shot in the second half of the game. Keep going back to that. Is he really a star? If he's standing there in the corner, picking his nose, doing nothing? He's not a star.
He needs to be more aggressive. He needs to demand the basketball. And if he's not, then they got to find ways to get him the basketball. That's on the head coach and the point guard.
I agree. Let's go to Andy in Milford. What's up, Andy?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah,
I love you, man.
Yeah.
I love you, man, but you're wrong about that sixth foul on Brunson when you're saying he's getting up with the six. It's not that it's in his head and he's hunting that way. He's playing chess, man, not checkers. He's a next-level athlete, and it's like Tiki said. It's that next-level athlete mentality where you're always thinking three steps ahead. You're thinking what this guy's doing, but he's also playing the refs there. He's saying to them, you know, this is the sixth foul. This is, you know, I've been asking for this all game, and why do you think Tibbs is on the refs? All they're trying to do is work the game, get the other guys backing off, getting them to think in their head they can't go commit another foul because now they're going to start calling it against Brunson.
It is.
So he's just playing that next-level athlete game, man.
It's a very fair point, and I guess it shows you that you can look at something, you and I can both look at the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and feel differently about what we're seeing. I respect...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
How you think it is. How I think it is a guy who it's in his head negatively, like that's the first thing on my mind. And maybe what adds to it is that Jalen Brunson complains all the time.
Yeah.
Like he's looking back for calls sometimes when there's no call to be made. Now, sometimes, especially in the first half of this game, because I do want to be fair about the differential. Now, in the fourth quarter, the Knicks and Pistons basically got to the line the same amount of times. So it was really a disparity earlier in the game.
It was early. I mean, it was 12-0 or 12 free throws to none,
yes,
I think, at one point.
It was a great disparity. And so right. I went back to look, not at every single call or non-call, and while I would agree that there were some that you could argue, it's kind of ticky-tack, especially some of the early ones on campaign that got him into foul trouble.
Yep.
And there were some that, sure, yeah, maybe the Knicks could have gotten that one. It didn't feel over the top. And also, I think this Pistons style of play led to them getting to the line more often. Like, yeah, every probably. Time they grabbed a rebound, man, Cade Cunningham pushing the basketball.
They just attacked downhill. And so what do you do in that situation? Cut off the paint type of thing and then force them to take outside shots? Yeah, that's what happened in game one. It didn't happen enough in game two, and the Pistons took advantage of it.
Evan is calling from Manhattan. How are you, Evan?
How you doing, guys?
What's happening?
All right, so listen, let me just ahead say that you two are my favorite. So, you know, in advance of disagreeing with a couple of things, he's the greatest giant running back of all time, and Evan, of course, you have the best name, right?
I appreciate it, man.
The two things are this. One thing, I got three quick comments. If you'll let me, it'll be fast, I promise. It's going to be Antoine, Cat, Brunson. Okay. So Antoine, essentially what Antoine was saying was, quote unquote, I know nothing about basketball and I've hit the lottery of getting airtime for 48 hours.
Wow.
I want the guy's mojo. Number two, Cat, the guy with the Villanova touches, no. Cat didn't want the ball. If you watch Cat, when he misses a couple shots or he gets an elbow in his midsection or something, he disappears. I watched him that whole half literally running away from the ball and having that look. Any of us who played any level of basketball knows the guy who just misses a few shots, you know, the opposite of a John Starks or whatever you bashed him years ago. That guy keeps shooting. Those are guys with guts to me. And Cat was thinking he was, like, discreetly – Not touching the ball.
Right.
And you really want to be in the play. Okay. My last thing on Brunson, and then I'll let you guys get your thoughts. So what I think, 100%, Evan, I love you. My favorite. I mean, I listen to you. I wish you were playing Sal Licata. I can't stand when I'm driving.
No, don't say that. He does a great job.
Guy's on the phone. Well, everybody's got his like taste. So the bottom line, these guys are just both sides of the fence. That's why I don't like them. But on this one, as far as the six fouls, he put up his six. First of all, Brunson got fouled 12 times, six of which wasn't called. He's got Dennis Schroeder, who's been on 19 teams in 3 years, chirping in his ear, calling him names, talking about his family, whatever, to get under his skin.
Right.
So he put the six up. Brunson is what we need. The only mistake Brunson made is he wasn't selfish enough and should have went to the, drew the foul or taken that last shot.
You know, it's funny you say that. For all the hero ball stuff, maybe he should have been more of a hero.
Right.
Because do you trust Mikal Bridges?
I mean, clearly not. Missing a wide open three from the top of the arc. It was wide open. Perfectly set up. Right? He peeled back around. He drove. He kicked it back out to him, and he was short.
So what do you guys trust more? I want every Knick fan to ask themselves this question, okay? A Mikal Bridges setup three, which is what you got, or Jalen Brunson taking a contested three with Dennis Schroeder in his face? The answer is, now Jalen did miss a three a few seconds earlier. Yeah. I don't want to ignore that completely. But you probably say, give me Jalen.
Yeah.
So as much as people are ripping the hero ball, you may actually want the hero ball.
Yeah, the problem is he was just so inefficient. I mean, he heaved up 12 of them.
No, I got you.
You're never winning a title with that mentality. where we're just relying on one player with three people on him to chuck up a shot. They're only winning if all five guys are involved and they're scoring and they're facilitating
are
and
they
everybody's
winning?
Touching the ball.
Are they going to win?
This season?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I'm just curious.
I'm talking about in the future, though.
So
I don't plan on retiring from my Knick fandom or stop watching.
You've given up on the
season? No, it's not giving up.
One playoff loss, he's given up on the season.
No, I've already given my predictions. Now, you've had me do 16,000 of them, depending on which day you ask me, and then you tell me I turn my back on them.
Well,
I'm watching the team right now, and I'm telling you there's chemistry issues.
So two games
into this. And the Celtics are the best team in the NBA.
So two games into the series, you've given up.
They beat the Celtics, Evan? They beat the Pistons.
In my opinion, yeah. The Knicks are going to win in five. I've said it since the beginning. No, the Celtics are going to kill him.
So what the hell are you getting on me
for? That's my opinion.
So I gave my opinion.
Well, I'm not giving up. I'm an IBO.
I'm not
giving
up. Just
because he's a homer doesn't mean that he's going to be unrealistic.
Well, but before he was a homer, when I asked him about Tom Thibodeau versus Rick Carlisle, he admitted he was a homer. By the way, speaking of Tom Thibodeau, let's hear from him. You guys want to hear Tom cry?
I guess so.
So this is after the game when Tom is asked, hey, you know, the calls, what's on your mind? Here's Tom Thibodeau probably about to get a fine, but doing his best to cry about the officiating.
You know, obviously, huge discrepancy in free throws. Huge. Huge. So I got to take a look at that. Right? So, you know, I don't understand, you know, how on one side, you know, you talk about direct line drives. The guy's getting fouled and it's not being called. Right? So, and look, I really don't give a crap how they call the game as long as it's consistent on both sides. So if Cunningham's driving and there's marginal contact and he's getting to the line, then Jalen deserves to be getting to the line. It's really that simple.
See, can I critique Tom's crying?
Yeah.
Made one mistake.
What was that?
So remember a year ago when Rick Carlisle, I think it was after game one or game two, I'm not sure, I think it was game one, he put out there, we're not getting the calls, and I'm going to give you a why. We're not getting the calls because we're just Indiana. We're small market. And he make it a small market versus big market thing.
Yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
I hated that.
I loved it.
That was so weak.
It was weak as hell, but it was smart. Because what you're trying to do is, this is the argument we had a year ago. You're doing whatever you can to guilt the league and the officials into getting you calls.
Yeah, but that's clearly not what it was.
But it doesn't matter.
Okay, I understand that.
Like, are we arguing about if they didn't get calls because of the small market? Right, of course I agree with you, but that's the point is, did they end up getting more calls in game three?
Yes,
the answer is yes. Okay, so it worked, right?
So what should Tom Thibodeau have done?
It's a great question. I'm so glad you asked it. So what should Tom Thibodeau have said? I think he should have attacked.
New York bias.
Yes, I think what he should have done.
Come on.
He should have invoked the name Charles Barkley. He should have invoked the name Shaquille O'Neal. And he said, here's what he should have done. I'm going to do my Tom Thibodeau imitation. Huge. Yeah, I said huge. That's good. Listen. I understand that half the guys on TV hate us. I understand that the national media can't stand the Knicks. Ha ha, LOL Knicks. I see you, Chuck. I see you over there. But do we need the officials? Do we need the officials to basically be Charles Barkley out there? I asked that to the commissioner. I'll ask that to everybody watching. Do we need Charles Barkley making calls out there?
That's actually a smart methodology to go about it.
You like that?
Right, because it's so absurd that people are going to pay attention to it.
And that's what Rick Carlisle did.
Absolutely.
He took the approach of, well, we're a small market team. We're not getting calls. So Tom has to play that game a year later and say, basically, let's rip all the national media members that never give us any credit. By the way, that's true. Like, Charles Barkley hates the Knicks. Shaq hates that. Like, they all do it and play into it and guilt them into getting calls in game three. Now, what's unusual about this, Teague, is last year, Carlisle was doing it as he was getting home to Indiana. Mm. You tend to get more calls in your own building,
right.
But this whole thing's been reversed because the Pistons got all these calls at Madison Square Garden. So now you've got Thibodeau begging for calls when he goes back to this supposed hostile environment in Detroit, Michigan.
Can he lean into the conspiracy theories or the narratives around the league as well, like you brought up, Evan, and say, listen, we all know there's a conspiracy theory that we're in this major market, so the officials, they're going to give us calls, so we move on for TV ratings, so they're probably giving the Pistons more calls, so they're not called out for being biased towards the bigger market. Wink, wink.
That's very convoluted.
What do you mean?
You just confused me. And Tiki's already given up on thinking.
You went to Costanza opposite day.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Tiki's banging something back there. It's on the desk, of course.
Right. Let's go to Nick in Astoria. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
What's up, dude?
Not too bad. Actually, really
good,
well.
Good.
I'm glad you asked. I'm in a great mood today. How are you?
I know. I see. I'm listening. I hear it. I hear it. So my only thing was last night, you got these guys. I haven't seen a game like that in a while where it kind of felt like a 90s kind of game where the defense was really banging, right? And the final score was what, in the 90s, right? It didn't go over 100.
100 to 96.
94.
All right.
94,
close enough,
yes.
Close enough.
Yep.
So my thing was the Knicks get the ball down three with, what, 19 seconds left there?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cat's not doing anything there. At the time, Mikal Bridges was so-so. The only person who was really playing well was Jalen Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are tired. They're so tired. Why are we not calling a timeout? They had two timeouts left.
That's a great
question. Why is Thibodeau? Thibodeau's not calling. He did it last year.
Yep.
And he did it this year. And I'm not even a Knicks fan, honestly. Right. I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan. But I'm calling because I was watching the game last night, and it's just insane. Insane.
Yeah, no, so let's paint the situation up. So,
call timeout, put Bridges in, then you have another shooter on the court.
No, Bridges is already in the game.
Yeah.
So Malik Beasley misses a corner three. So Schroeder hits the three to put him up three with about 55 seconds to go. Jalen Brunson misses a contested shot. Now they have the basketball where they've got a chance to make it a two-possession game. Malik Beasley, I think it was a corner three, misses a corner three. Knicks get the rebound. I think it was Josh Hart, if memory serves correct. They have two timeouts. Now, there's two schools of thought here. I just want to lay it out instead of just saying that it's right or it's wrong. Because let's think about it together. Because it did go through my mind,
right.
But I wasn't passionate.
Call a timeout.
He does. If you call a timeout, yes, you can draw up a play, but you're also allowing your opponent to rest. You're also allowing them to draw up a play and prepare for whatever you're drawing up.
But the question is, do you already have one thought out?
Well, of course, you better. I mean, if you're a well-coached team. And by the way, they did have a great play.
Yeah.
Brunson drove. He kicked it out the Bridges. He was wide open.
No, you're right.
And I don't know if you get that look if you call a timeout. So even though you've got the two, if you play through the way Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks did, you're keeping the defense on its heels.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, over the last couple of years, whenever this situation has occurred, I find myself liking what Tom Thibodeau did, which is let's put the defense on their heels, let's force them to think, and ultimately, they got a great look.
Yeah.
So what was it on? It was on Bridges because he had an open three, missed it.
At the end of the day, that's all you can do. As an athlete, you get so many opportunities in your season or, hell, in your career to take that shot. And you're either going to make it or you're going to miss it. And people are going to judge you and determine your hero-ness to their organization, to their team, to their fandom, by whether or not you make the play.
Absolutely.
And Mikal Bridges just didn't make the play.
That's what it comes down to. Yeah. And that's why it's tough. It's a real first guess, second guess to say, I should have used the timeout. Okay. To drop what?
Right.
You got a great look. And the player missed it. Comes down to that. More of your calls next at 888-808-1019. Plus, what do you do if you're a baseball player and you have a choice? I can make a play, keep this game 4-0. But if I make that play, there's a chance I'm going to get stabbed by a bat that's flying at my body. What decision would you make? And we'll also get to something that potentially may hurt Tiki's feelings. It'll probably hurt Morash's feelings more than Tiki's. And that is the fact that the New York Giants have handed out Tiki Barber's number out again to somebody else. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but it is 3:28. Approaching 3:30 on a Tuesday, which means it's time for Posting and Toasting.
It's time for Posting and Toasting.
That's where we read the old tweets of our fellow FAN coworkers and Tiki guesses who posted it, and we decide if we want to toast them. Are
yes.
you ready?
Yes, I am.
This is a little timely. October 16th, 2012. It must suck to wake up in the morning and realize you live in Detroit, or anywhere in Michigan, for that matter.
What?
Is that Evan Roberts?
October of 2012. Okay, keep going.
Sean Morash, Al Dukes, or Greg Giannotti?
October of 2012. So this is football season. It could be baseball season.
It must suck to wake up in the morning and realize you live in Detroit or anywhere in Michigan for that matter.
Or college football. I'm going to say this was Sean Morash.
You're wrong.
Dang it.
You take Sean as being anti-Detroit and anti-Michigan. He liked Detroit pizza the other day.
Just something happened with one of the teams he was playing, and so he was pissed off about it.
So you think this is sports related?
Yes. Huh. Why would it not be?
I don't know. I mean, what makes someone say that? You know,
I don't know. That's why it's so random.
Okay.
Al Dukes?
Eat me.
It is Al Dukes. Al is not pro-Detroit or Michigan. for that matter.
Do we have any context surrounding this?
Knowing,
do we know why he said this?
Knowing Al, it was probably like he was reading a cookbook and it involved Detroit, and he's like, boy, who the hell would want to live there? I think Detroit's a fine city. I've only visited twice. I told you that my dog urinated on the side of the stadium.
Oh, lovely.
I also parked my bike on the side of the stadium. Not Fantastic. At the same time. That would be weird.
Yeah, and it got stolen.
And it did. No. What got? No, my bike got replaced in St. Louis.
Oh,
it was all good in Detroit.
Right.
Here's a post from January 2nd, 2014. Let's give him credit as Jets quarterbacks maintain a firm grip. Am I allowed to say this? You know what? I'm going to say it. Can I say it or do I have to change that last word?
Let me look back on it here. Sorry. Give me 1 second.
D-O-N-G.
Well, you spelled it. That's just as bad.
Yeah, but I didn't say it.
You spell a curse. It's just like saying
it's not a curse.
Or a word that's untoward.
Just say it. Make an I.
Ding?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, perfect.
So I'm really referring to ding dong, but I'm referring to the other
Which
thing.
Was a tag team, I think, back in the day.
Yes. All right. Again, January 2nd, 2014. Let's give him credit. Let's give him credit. As Jets quarterbacks maintain a firm grip on one stat, leading the league in ding shots. Hashtag Favre, hashtag Geno. I guess Geno Smith was involved in a ding shot scandal, if you will.
Ding controversy.
Yeah, apparently.
I don't remember that one.
Was that Tommy Lugauer, Sal Licata?
No, Tommy was like 12.
Brandon Tierney or Evan Roberts?
Sal Licata.
You're wrong.
BT?
You guys are asses.
It is BT, yes. The Jets maintain a firm grip on one stat, leading the league in ding shots, even though we're using the other word.
Wait, he was just back.
Who was just back?
He was in San Francisco at the time.
Oh, okay. Well, I think he was always tweeting about the Jets, wasn't
he? I know, but in San Francisco, you can do that. You can't do that if you're here.
You can't say that word?
Well, you just can't say it if you're doing sports radio in New York.
I got you.
Fair enough. Because then it gets back to you. Like, the Jets will be like, where the hell is Brandon Tierney on whatever talking about?
I mean, he's kind of right. Like, the Jets have this incredible ability to have pictures of one's genitalia come away from the quarterback. Speaking of that, I got to tell you, I'm very excited about this. There's a new Brett Favre documentary coming out, and they're going to focus on that. They're going to focus on the picture, and they're also going to focus on what he's accused of doing down in Mississippi with the money and the whatever. I don't even know that much about it. That's part of why I'm excited to see the doc. So it's Favre, but the Favre issues that I care most about.
Yeah.
Him sending pictures of his stuff to a woman.
I'm pretty sure it's not going to be in a favorable light.
I don't think so. No. I don't think so. This is from February 6, 2018, a little Knicks-related tweet. If Kristaps Porzingis is seriously injured, I'm really going to have to reevaluate my lifelong love affair with basketball. This will be my turning point.
Wow, that is some dramatic
crap. What was the year?
That is February 6th, 2018. Was that Tommy Lugauer, Sal Licata, Brandon Tierney, or Greg Giannotti?
You doubled up on BT.
Okay, and I was wrong. Next question.
Yeah, it is BT.
Yeah.
You knew that so well.
I did, because I remember when that happened.
And finally, May 30th, 2021, I put on my Allen Houston Nike Swingman I bought in 1999 for today. I'm embarrassed. Was that Tommy Lugauer, Greg Giannotti, Brandon Tierney, or Sal Licata?
Greg Giannotti.
Intellectually bankrupt.
Nah, you nailed that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew you wouldn't go 3 BTs.
I wouldn't go 3 BTs.
That's a great tiki show.
Nah, you did a good job, man.
Yeah.
Okay, you really nailed it.
2 seconds and 3 number ones.
So apparently what I got from that is that was Knicks Hawks back in 2021. G was pumped up. So to show his pumped upness, he put on an Allen Houston Nike Swingman jersey, all pumped up for the game. They lost. He was embarrassed. Mm. What is the oldest jersey you have? I'll start with you, Sean.
Probably a Joe Morris.
Got a Joe Morris. And you never even saw Joe Morris play.
Yeah, but it was one of those, like, my first Giant jersey that I wore that I still can squeeze into it.
What's your oldest jersey, Tommy?
Piazza.
That's your oldest?
Oldest, yep.
Interesting. You know what my oldest is, right, T? Let's see how well he pays attention.
Mel Ott.
There you go.
You wore it last week?
There you go. That's what I'm saying. I wore it last week. You knew all about that.
I was born at night, but not last night.
Good call.
Since last week, I saw you in it.
That's true. All right, I'm glad you remembered. Real quick.
Yes.
We just received
LaDainian Tomlinson.
You had a LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yeah, he gave it to me. That doesn't count. What do you mean it doesn't count?
Was that a jersey trade?
No. He came to the Jets, and he called me and said, you were great at the end of your career. How did you get that way? I said, meet me, blah, blah, blah. And he met me at Joe Carini's workout place.
So you
he
never
worked out with my trainer.
So he gave you a jersey as like a hey.
He gave me jerseys for me and my kids.
Well, that's
my boys.
So you never had jerseys as a kid?
Never.
Interesting.
We couldn't afford them.
I understand. Did you have a favorite player that you'd want a jersey of?
Walter Payton.
Definitely. Yeah, that'd be badass. You know what? By the way, speaking of which, Sean, I keep forgetting to do this.
Where is he?
Can you go to my office and get TG Barber's birthday present?
The guy's going to be 51 by the time he gets the
Dude,
present.
He's been sitting under my desk for a week, and the only reason I thought about it is when Tiki just said, I'm a big gift when it makes sense guy. As soon as Tiki said, I always wanted a Walter Payton jersey, I was already about to go on Fanatics and buy you a Walter Payton jersey. Like, that would be such a badass gift, and it shows I pay attention, but I'm going to save it for next year.
Nice.
So you least expect it. With that said, we have a birthday present for you that I keep forgetting to give you, and it's in my office.
So last week when CP was in, I went to go also bring that in on top of the shirt you sneezed in.
Yeah.
And I could not find the gift under your desk.
No, it's very easy. So sit in my big red chair. Look, I do have a big red chair. Look to the right near the computer area.
Uh-huh.
It's sitting right there. You can't miss it.
On the floor?
On the floor.
All right, I'll get it after the picture thing.
Oh,
I mean the number thing.
Oh, yeah. So the Giants just handed out your number.
Did they?
Do you want to guess?
Go kiss ass.
Do you want to guess who it is?
I'm going to say it is... I have no idea.
You were building up for this big guess. And then you're like, I don't know.
Oh, I know it's a defensive player.
Well, I'm looking at who they added because I like to write it down.
Yeah.
Paulson, Adebo.
Adebo.
Chris Board.
Didn't Adebo.
Roy Robertson Harris. I got a guess. Javon Holland is wearing Tiki Barber's 21. Mm.
So before we start the season, his name is Javon Holland.
That's what I just said.
You said Javon. Second of all, you're wrong. Posted and toasted. Paulson Adebo, the corner they signed from the Saints, will wear the number 21.
I think he wore that in... Didn't he wear that? Or was he two?
I don't know.
I'm forgetting now.
I don't know.
By the way, I called one of his games, so I think he did wear 21.
Javon Holland did take a Giants Legends jersey, though. They announced his.
What's he wearing?
Who is he?
He's taking Daniel Jones's number 8.
Yeah.
And also important to note, if you own a Darius Slayton jersey, after 6 years, he's ditching 86 and going to number 18.
All right, there you go. You should do a whole podcast about that.
29 Adebo wore.
Are you upset that Paulson Adebo is wearing your number, or because he's getting $54 million, it's
okay? I just rented that number for a decade.
You always say that. So I just rented the number.
It was never mine.
I mean,
it belonged to the New York Football Giants.
All right. Very classy answer from Tiki Barber. I'll tell you this, as an IFO, I approve of this because Paulson Adebo is getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be an impactful player. He's not some random kicker. So from that standpoint, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I forgot that from last year.
Let's go to Chris in Michigan, who I think was deeply offended by the Al Dukes tweet, who said that he would basically hate his life if he was waking up one morning in Michigan. Well, Chris wakes up in Michigan every day. How are you?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Great show, as always.
Thank you, man.
So, I called for a few things for the Knicks, but the foul thing about Tibbs, you know, Bickerstaff did it after game one, Tibbs did it after game two. It's probably going to be a wash, and hopefully it won't even be an issue the rest of the series, and that's what I'm hoping for, and they call it equal both ways. But my problem is I'm blaming the defense and how it's been going, and a lot of it is these high screens at the top of the key, and then I'm seeing all these guys standing in the corner open, whether it's Hardaway Jr., Malik Beasley, Tobias Harris, even Schroeder sometimes, and they're just standing there wide open and making these threes for the most part.
Right.
I think the help defense is a big problem, and I just kind of wanted to know what you guys were thinking, so I wanted to say, let's go Knicks, let's go Mets, for the guys behind the glass, and yourself, Evan, happy Rusev Day.
Happy Rusev Day. That's right. He came back last night. Thank you very much, Chris. I did see that.
Mm.
Yeah. Rusev returned. It was very random.
Yeah.
And he had new music, but I did see that. I got to say something funny about wrestling last night before you answer that whole Knicks question.
Yeah.
So I went to the Met game.
Not a complicated answer, but go ahead.
You want to answer it first?
I mean,
because I'm just going to talk wrestling for 2 minutes. It's boring. Trust me.
Just real quickly, I think the Knicks are terrified of giving up the lane, and so they give help in the lane. And so they come off their assignments, they peek and help, and then they're not aware enough to get back to the corner.
And also,
the runouts are just not there.
And in the fourth quarter of game one and game two, they got lucky. Because I think the Pistons had a lot of way open looks, and they just missed them, didn't take advantage of it. So last night, I went to the Met game with Jet. Fun night. Mets win. Never even scared. Even when Diaz gave up the home run, I wasn't worried. But hell of a victory. Come home. Watch the Knick game. Now it's like 1 a.m. I'm like, I got to see what happened on Raw. Like, what the hell happened? God. So I see the John Cena promo, Randy Orton, blah, blah, blah. I'm skimming through everything, and I finally get to the end with Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins. I pass out. Okay? Then I wake up a few hours later because one of my sons woke up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, it's 4 a.m., new lease on life. I start the segment over. I fall asleep again. And then a third time, right after I woke up in the morning, I'm like, all right, let me just see what happens. I fell asleep again. I have still not gotten through the last part of Raw because three times in a row within like 2 minutes.
Must be that interesting, huh?
I don't think it's anti-Heyman or Rollins. I think it's me. I think it's just, you said, I don't sleep enough.
Right.
Do you want your gift now?
Sure.
Should I wait for TV or screw TV?
I mean, screw TV. Every time we said wait for TV, then we forget it.
Exactly. And you know what I say to SNY? Air the entire show. And you'll see Tiki's gift. So Tiki Barber turned 50.
Two weeks ago.
And I awkwardly said to him, what do you want? Like, should we get you something? And you're like, nah, you don't have to get me something. But if you do, I like booze. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Says I like whiskey. Didn't you say whiskey?
I did.
I hope he said whiskey. So then I was getting tons of emails from people like, oh, you should get him this. You should get him that. You should get him this. And one person who emailed me, it really hit. They said, Tiki's really getting into baseball. He's really getting into fantasy. How about something baseball whiskey related? So we present to you Field of Dreams Whiskey Company, bourbon whiskey.
That is dope.
And apparently... They give a number to represent the amount of people that have ever played Major League Baseball.
No, that's not true.
That's what that number means. Yes.
No, that's
you
not
ready?
What that is.
In the 153-year history of professional baseball, there have been 23,370 players to make it to the big leagues, whether they had a cup of coffee or enshrined in Cooperstown. Taking the field in the major leagues is the culmination of a journey to an ultra-exclusive fraternity forever etched in the history book of the sport. To celebrate this, we're releasing our annual Field of Dreams Player Series, a limited run of 23,370 bottles, one for every major leaguer in history. Distilled from the most famous cornfield in the world, the Field of Dreams.
No, it's
in
not.
Dyersville, Iowa.
That's a lie. There's no way.
This whole thing. What, you think I'm making this up?
No, I mean, seriously?
Yeah.
That's
you want it?
That's kind of cool.
Happy birthday. Baseball whiskey.
Field of Dreams Whiskey Company. Bourbon whiskey. 54% alcohol, 108 proof.
By the way, can one of our sales guys make them a sponsor now?
Okay, so I need to figure out who was the 16,000th 693rd player, Major League Baseball.
Oh, no, I have the answer.
Who is it?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you sitting down?
I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, the player is CC
No, it's
Sabathia.
Not. No, it's not.
Why not?
You're lying.
Am I lying?
You're just making that up.
Did I make that up?
You absolutely made that up. There's no chance. But the timing is probably close.
Hold on, I'm going to look. I thought it was, actually. What number bottle did you get?
16,693rd MLB player.
All right. Who is this major league? If it's CC Sabathia, is this the greatest gift of all time?
How the hell do they even know this?
I have the answer. The answer is, I remember this guy, Tim Crabtree. He's a pitcher, pitched for the Blue Jays, pitched for a bunch of teams. He made the major leagues on June 23rd, 1995.
Oh, we got him the Tim Crabtree bottle?
I got him the Tim Crabtree.
So, Evan, your brain has reported that Nolan Arenado will be a Yankee. We now know what Tiki's brain is reporting, his thoughts on this gift now.
I hate it. Oh, come on.
No. See, if this was CC, then I wouldn't drink it.
Oh. So is this Crabtree throwback?
Tim Crabtree? This will get cracked up.
I hate it.
I actually love this. You know why?
Why?
Because half the battle with whiskey is just the bottle cool. Bottle is cool.
And it's a badass bottle.
It is a cool bottle.
Now, do you guys think the gift is cool? I mean, Sean,
no,
you
I
paid for
do.
Part of it. Tommy's just, you know.
I do too, because
for the ride.
I actually love it. I think it's cool. It's unique.
Yeah, I hate it. When you're buying a bourbon or
bad
a whiskey.
Tiki, you're not eating. You're not drinking. So shut it up.
You need something unique to separate it, and that is unique. That is cool. I wish it was better than Tim Crabtree.
First of all,
AI told me the 693rd player in Major League Baseball history is a bit of a trick question.
Why is that?
It's impossible to definitively know the exact order of all players, as MLB player records aren't always sequentially tracked.
Mm.
However, it is likely a player who debuted in the latter part of the 20th or early 21st century.
See, I wasn't that far off.
Not
with
that far off.
Ceasing. Like, we were a couple of years off from it.
This AI didn't even, like, give me a guess at a name, so that's what's frustrating.
So AI gave me two names. It gave me Tim Crabtree, and the other one it gave me was the former catcher, Chris Widger.
Both of whom are not important enough for me not to drink this bottle of whiskey.
You wouldn't drink it if it was CC?
Hell no, I wouldn't.
It would feel like such an honor?
Absolutely. I'd probably give it to him in the Hall of Fame when I go in July.
That is, you know what? I think that's the gift you got to get him.
Okay, first of all, we got to figure out what player he is.
I think if you ask this company, since they're basing it on, hey, how many guys have played baseball, don't they have a number for every single person?
They should.
I think they would.
They have to. If they have the total number, then they have to have a system where those numbers mean something.
Yeah, now I think there are some ties, because if like eight guys are making their major league debut on the same day, opening day of a year, like what do? Do you go based on when the game started? Mm-hmm. I get that it's complicated, but there's certainly a way to do it. Either way, happy birthday, Tiki.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sorry it was 2 weeks late.
I don't care.
Let's go to Rashad in the Bronx. How are you, Rashad?
Hey, good evening. Good afternoon, fellas. Good evening, fellas.
What's up, man?
All right. So, was it just me or watching the game in the third quarter? It seemed like the Knicks didn't get any rebounds whatsoever.
Right. Yes. And it's very rarely happens. Very.
I know. It rarely happens. I was just watching. I'm just thinking, why are they not getting no rebounds? Every loose ball is somehow going back to Detroit.
You know what they have to do? What do they have to do to change that? My answer is Mitchell Robinson.
Right.
And if you don't agree that it should be Mitch and Cat, which I think it should, they only played 5 minutes combined last night, and they only played like 45 minutes combined during the regular season, yet the numbers were actually pretty impressive when they both shared the floor, then it needs to be less Josh Hart, or it needs to be less Cat. Because Mitchell Robinson not only can defend anybody 1-5, not only is he an elite rim protector, but Mitchell Robinson will actually give you a force on the offensive glass, which they have not had yet in this series.
Yeah, of course. I mean, what did he play? 20 minutes last night. He had 7 rebounds. So if he plays 30, 40 minutes, he's going to have double-digit rebounds. And that combats a little bit of what the Pistons did, where they had 3 guys in their starting lineup who had double-digit boards. I mean, it's been an X factor for the Knicks all season long, is Cat, most specifically, getting offensive rebounds and getting second chance opportunities. You didn't see it.
Well, think about this. The New York Knicks had 3 offensive rebounds combined from guys not named Mitchell Robinson, and they had 4 from Mitch himself in the 20 minutes he played. And Karl Anthony Towns, who is 7 foot, had 0 offensive rebounds. And the beauty of offensive rebounds not only gives you another chance to score, that's obvious, but it stops the transition game of the Detroit Pistons, which they put on display at times because Cade Cunningham was going downhill all night,
right,
which is part of why they got to the free throw line a million times. So it's all interconnected.
I agreed.
All right, Mitch.
Breaking news. Sean, you got it?
Breaking news. Break the glass, then. I'm nervous.
Is this okay? We know what number player CC Sabathia is in Major League history.
We do.
We do.
Hold on a second. So what number is that bottle?
16,693.
If I'm within 2,000, I say it's a victory. If like we could get the bottle within 2,000 of CC Sabathia, I almost think it counts as a CC Sabathia bottle.
Okay.
So I'm going to say he's player number 18,109.
Okay. Final guess?
18,109.
CC Sabathia is the 17,831st player in Major League history.
Oh, you're so close.
I know.
How do I know that?
How?
The website of the bottle company, you could type in any player's name and it'll tell you the number.
Really?
Well, now. Yep. So then tell me who 16,693 is.
Yeah. Is it who we thought it was, Tim Crabtree, or is it someone else? I'm very excited.
Wow. They have multiple players with that same number.
So it must have been an opening day where guys made the debut.
Five players listed.
Have you heard of any of them?
Yeah.
Have you heard of all of them?
I've heard of 3 of them.
How many of them famous?
I mean, only because I played with the Expos a lot. Stratomatic, Chris Widger. That's about it.
So we said that on the air. Yeah. So Chris Widger, we had already referred to.
Tim Crabtree, Ricardo Jordan, Ryan Karp, Dan Masteller, and Chris Widger.
Great. I can drink it. Awesome.
Did you just say Ricardo Jordan?
I did.
Why?
Did you say Ricardo Jordan?
I did.
F that guy.
Played for the Mets.
Why are you triggered by Ricardo Jordan?
What's the name of my podcast?
The Rico Bronya.
Who did the Mets get when they traded Rico Bronya to the Phillies?
Ricardo Jordan
and Toby Borland. But
are
yes,
you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
That guy got the bottle for Ricardo Jordan, and he's who was traded for Rico Bronya.
And you hate him?
Yes. What are the odds of that?
What are the odds? I don't know. One in a million? I don't know.
Yeah, all of these players debuted on Friday, June 23rd, 1995.
Oh, geez, Evan, I'll drink the whole bottle and break it for you.
Yeah, please. Yeah, so Ricardo Jordan was a left-handed reliever. He played for the Phillies. And when the Mets traded Rico Bronya to the Philadelphia Phillies, they received two relievers back, Toby Borland and Ricardo Jordan.
Wow.
On opening day, 1997,
wow.
Ricardo Jordan and Toby Borland each took turns dropping a deuce all over the field as the Mets blew a game to the San Diego Padres on opening day 1997. I think that's in my book, My Mets Bible. I think I even use those phrases.
This is in your book.
Is it?
The guy whose number is represented on the bottle, Field of Dreams whiskey bottle that you gave me for my birthday 2 weeks and a day late,
yeah,
is in the book.
Damn right.
My Mets Bible.
Damn right.
And you hate him.
I can't stand
him. Wow. What are the... I mean, seriously, the chances of that happening are slim to none.
I'll give you one more tie-in. Unless I'm going crazy and looking this up, that date that those players debuted is the day the Devils won the Stanley Cup in 95.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So does that mean the Devils are winning the Stanley Cup this year?
This is a bizarre turn with this bottle.
Dude, if the Devils win the Stanley Cup, I might have to wait and see before I crack it open. Or Devil Elimination Day. That's when I'll crack it open.
Okay, all right. Drink through it.
So either Stanley Cup or
Devil Elimination Day. So by the end of the week.
Stop being a hater.